Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout. Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use STAPLE20 at checkout.
Hi, thanks for joining. Please make sure you subscribe to follow us on all the various platforms here on the podcast, as well as on YouTube. The stuff we write on Substack, as well as quick takes on Instagram and on Threads. If you're enjoying what we're putting out there, please make sure you're sharing with all your friends and family. And if you have questions or comments about the stuff we're putting out there, please make sure you leave them in comments to us. We'll be more than happy to cover them in future talks.
There's a movement going through the social media feeds of many of our quote-unquote experts and quote-unquote scientists, where they are presenting some sort of brand new secret that they found. Some sort of bulletproof way of reaching the goals that you want to reach that like to present a avenue of you can manipulate your biology in order to live longer. You can manipulate your biology in order to lose fat faster, in order to gain strength faster. It's an idea that they like to refer to as biohacking. That is tapping into your unique individual biology and then manipulating it in order to get these gains. But the question is it really new? Is it something that is of importance? But really the question we should be asking is, what really is biohacking? Biohacking. Let's talk about that.
Warning. The following presentation contains information that might contradict what you have previously heard or believed to be true about how the human body works, and contains material that is not suitable for closed-minded individuals. Enjoy.
So this idea is you're going to hack, the quotes around that, into your biology in order to do everything that you can do in order to improve everything from mental acuity to losing weight to gaining muscle quicker to living longer. It's pitched as a do-it-yourself way to personal improvement, changing aspects of your biology so as to improve your health, improve your wellness, improve performance. If you've never heard of biohacking before, don't stress. You're not alone. Is this just another fad? Is it putting big scientific terms together in order to get the clicks, in order to serve as clickbait, in order to get people to follow? Is it really a thing? Well, if we start off by looking at the science that's there, the actual looking at the scientific experimentation, the actual research that's there, and we go to PubMed, which is kind of our go-to source for looking for research on the idea, and we use our key phrase or keyword here of biohacking, we get 39 results. And of those 39 results, 90% are related to technology, implants, or genetic manipulations, not to what is being discussed or sold within the world of the social media fitness and wellness, quote unquote, experts, or the social media fitness and wellness, quote unquote, scientists. Where the scientists, once again, put quotes around that, and where the experts, once again, put quotes around that, are discussing ways that we can improve weight loss, improve mental functions based off of things that they've done, things that they've somehow found through their own research, once again, put quotes around that, or through their own experimentation, once again, put quotes around that. The idea behind this whole notion of biohacking is that it's somehow going to involve changes in lifestyle, changes in diet, changes in exercise, changes in technology, that is the use of certain types of tech, typically wearable devices or devices that you can put around the body, that is somehow going to make you feel less tired, less stressed, less overwhelmed, less unhappy, where it's somehow going to lead to balancing of your hormones. The core message that everyone that is calling themselves an expert in biohacking or a biohacking quote unquote scientist is that biohacking is going to improve your health and wellness by allowing for you to use your intrinsic biological responses to reduce stress, to sleep better, to weigh less, to live longer, with the understanding that all you got to do is this one thing. Here's the answer That is what they're selling you. They're selling you this answer. And while we have discussed a lot about the idea about manipulation of exercise, manipulation of diet as relates to changes of hormones, that's not what they're selling. They're selling the manipulation of biology by using this one specific wearable device, by drinking this one specific type of beverage, by eating this one specific type of substance, by being exposed to this one specific type of environment. And yes, I understand it sounds a little like quackery, because across the hundreds of voices that are out there speaking to this biohacking, it all seems to hinge on these aspects of your body's biology, of your biology, that needs to get manipulated, that you have to somehow monitor how much sleep you're getting, or what a lot of them reference as the quality of sleep, that you somehow have to monitor your blood glucose levels, that you somehow have to track your performance, that you somehow are going to lower your stress and anxiety, that you are going to be able to do this all through mindfulness to your eating, mindfulness to your exercise, aspects of lifestyle interventions that are going to somehow control two key hormones, and only two key hormones that they speak about, insulin and cortisol. Almost every one of these biohacking ideas centers around insulin, centers around cortisol as the key to living longer, as the key to living healthier, as the key to having better overall control of your health. Now, we have discussed those hormones as it relates to stress responses, as it relates to overfatness, but a lot of the biohacking ideas that are being presented go beyond those avenues of application in terms of those two hormones. There's also a host of other hormones that come into play as it relates to manipulations of metabolic efficiency, manipulation of fuel utilization, manipulation of growth responses within our own biology. Yet almost all of the biohacking ideas as it relates to, particularly as it relates to the weight loss ideas or relates to the ability to improve overall performance, is focused on those two hormones as if they're the only two hormones that are going to indicate any idea about overall health. In particular, a lot of them discussing some of the truth as relates to some of the measurements that we look at within the blood, pulling ideas and concepts that I have written about in many of my research articles that somehow do not get cited within these presentations about the biohacking and the hormones that they're looking at in terms of manipulation, or the biomarkers that they're discussing as relates to inflammation. For issues of long-term metabolic health, in particular A1C levels, as the indication of high levels of, or chronic levels of, high levels of glucose within the blood, which is an indication of having chronic inflammation taking place, excessive chronic glucose consumption or sugar consumption within the diet, or glucose-sparing signals causing changes to normal metabolic function. Without actually looking at the other inflammatory markers that are going to come into play, particularly inflammatory markers that are going to be impacting cardiovascular health, neurological health, or metabolic health. And quite often done without true understanding of the application that they're selling, the science that they're selling, where what the points they're trying to make may be true for one cell or one type of tissue, but it's not true for the cell or the tissue that they're talking about. Well, they'll talk about neurons using specific types of fuels that neurons don't use. Neurons are glucose obligated cells. They will only use glucose or a glucose metabolite for their fuel sources, where they can use ketones, but in order to use ketones, the astrocytes that are support cells to the neurons will have to metabolize those ketones into something else that can be used. They will not do beta oxidation the way in which a lot of biohackers will talk about. They will not do distinct types of fuel source use that we might see within cardiac muscle, that we might see within skeletal muscle, because neurons have a distinct type of metabolism unique within the neurons that we don't see within the other type of cells that we might be talking about. Without understanding those distinctions that take place, we are getting a misrepresentation of the physiology taking place. And without having true understanding of the physiology taking place, we cannot, quote unquote, hack into our biology. When we start looking at this idea about biohacking, one of the things we have to start looking at is, what is the idea being sold? There are a lot of items being pitched. There's a lot of items being sold as a means to allow someone to, quote unquote, hack their biology. A lot of what is being sold is either going to be supplements or is going to be some sort of tech. And by tech, we're talking about things that can be worn or things that you're going to apply around your body, or devices that may be inside rooms that are going to emit some sort of environmental change that can cause some sort of change to the environment you happen to be exposed to. This includes wearable devices, magnets that are somehow going to draw blood into areas of trauma based off the idea that blood cells, red blood cells in particular, have iron in them and iron is drawn to magnets. Clothing and jewelry with copper that somehow is able to remove oxidative stress from the body or from the tissues because copper, when it is exposed to air, changes colors because copper and the oxygen in the air is going to lead to an oxidation within the copper, leading to a change in the color of the copper, both of which have no valid scientific evidence to support. As I was once asked by a relative who was wearing a copper bracelet, if the copper bracelet was doing anything for them, it may simply just be restricting movement. And by restricting movement, allows for tissues to heal because there's less movement trauma taking place. But what is really being supported here is the idea of the antidote, the fact that I put this on and somehow I start feeling better, and because I start feeling better, it must be doing something for me. The antidote that is coming into play. And as I tell all of my students, and I reiterate it over and over and over again, antidotes are not evidence. Antidotes are antidotes. We can use the antidote, we can use that observation as a means to develop a hypothesis that we can then go about doing experimentation on, and through objective analysis of the experimentation, determine the validity of the hypothesis. But the antidote itself is not evidence that we can use to support and draw a conclusion from. Or ambient devices like red lights or blue lights or saunas or cold tubs are also biohacks that are being sold, in which devices that are being pitched as biohacks, we don't have evidence to support the claims, particularly when we start looking at the blue light and the infrared light as devices that we can somehow lead to manipulations of our physiology. Yes, there are therapeutic devices that use infrared light. Yes, there are therapeutic devices that use blue light, but they're not for the reasons that are being touted by our quote-unquote experts or quote-unquote scientists within our social media feed. And then we have the discussions about using saunas and using cold plunges as a means to somehow induce greater amounts of fat oxidation in order to change, put quotes around that, our fat cells into being brown, put quotes around that, fat cells, as opposed to the white fat cells that they happen to be. Yes, there are two different types of fat cells. Yes, there are brown fat cells. Yes, there are white fat cells. When we start talking about brown fat and white fat, what we're talking about is we're talking about fat cells that have changes in mitochondrial density and changes in mitochondrial signaling that will lead to increased thermogenesis. When we have distinct hormonal signals taking place, we can increase thermogenesis coming away from adipose cells. We can cause what's referred to as beiging taking place of our white fat cells, but we cannot change white fat cells into brown fat cells. The other thing that comes into play when we start looking at the sauna issues and the cold plunge issues is that we don't get long enough exposures to cause those chronic changes necessary in order to have it be a quote unquote biohack to allow for greater fat utilization, fat oxidation, in order to somehow change fat mass through the exposure to cold or through the exposure to hot. The other thing that likes to get touted is that these treatments will somehow reduce stress. Yes, they can reduce stress. Yes, there is empirical evidence that they do reduce stress. However, they are done in cyclic fashions and done in such a way so that they are being applied based off of self-preference towards that treatment. That is, we are cycling between hot, cold, or cold and hot, cold and hot, in order to induce a reduction in stress hormones. Or we're being exposed to hot if we like things that are hot, or cold if we like things that are cold. Without utilizing that self-preference, without understanding that self-preference, the biohack of go ahead and do the cold plunge is going to somehow cause this response is not true. Go ahead and do the sauna, it's going to cause this type of response is not true. If we start looking at the empirical evidence coming away from the Scandinavian countries that have been using saunas for long periods of time, or from indigenous peoples who use saunas or hothouses as a means for spiritual guidance, we do see changes in stress hormones when we have a cyclic fashion of spending time in the heat, spending time in the cold, spending time in the heat, spending time in the cold, or utilization of other aspects of the ambient environment that will lead to reductions in stress or cause a meditative state to come into play, neither of which are discussed within the realm of this biohacking. The tech can also be other types of wearable technology, smartwatches, fitness trackers, the Oura rings, that are meant to provide us with data about how well our body tends to be functioning or how our body is necessarily functioning. It allows us to track and alter fitness and exercise activities. It allows us to track and alter sleep cycles. But that only takes place.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
If we're willing to sift through all of the data and do some tracking analysis, that means we actually have to do empirical, objective observations of our own data. And as we've discussed previously about these devices, they're not as accurate or as reliable as one might hope. It's a limitation in terms of what we're doing, in terms of what we are trying to hack by tracking cardiopulmonary or cardiometabolic responses to activity. The other technology that gets lumped into this tech about biohacking that we just got done discussing is the continuous glucose monitor, with the idea being that by biohacking and tracking our glucose levels, we can indicate our metabolic health as a means by managing metabolic issues or even managing weight. And as we've pointed out previously, it's not physiologically accurate. There are a host of reasons why you might see fluctuations in glucose. Some of those fluctuations might seem counterintuitive to what we believe about how glucose levels will change based off of functions taking place within the body, based off responses that we have to diet, as we have responses to exercise, as we have responses to other things that are going to cause changes within glucose. The other thing we have to remember is that the validity of using those glucose trackers outside of people who are using them for self-care in the monitoring of diabetic conditions, metabolic health conditions, is not grounded well in science. Along with all this tech, we also get a host of supplements, a host of diets, a host of other things that come into play as it relates to these biohacks. The host of supplements that are usually being pitched as being biohacks will fit into a term that is usually referenced as nootropics. It's a label that is meant to instill that these are smart drugs or contain substances that will somehow boost performance or improve our body composition. These quote-unquote smart drugs include a wide variety of supplements, of drinks, of foods, but will also include a lot of prescription drugs that are used off-label or in individuals that should not take these medications. This is going to include things like the Ozempic, things like the Wegovy, that are now becoming part of the treatment for overfatness issues, so for obesity issues, even though the drug is not intended for that. Some of what we are regularly aware of are substances like creatine, substances like caffeine, substances like EGCG, the active substance within green tea, things like theobromine, things like theophylline, where we also have a host of stimulant medications. A lot of the ADHD medications are going to fit into this idea about nootropic. We're going to somehow utilize these substances, the caffeine, the theobromine, the theophylline, the ECGC, the ADHD medications are going to somehow cause changes in our hunger responses as a means to regulate our hunger or somehow regulate our metabolism, in most cases speeding up the metabolism, in particular metabolism as relates to fat oxidation or use of fatty acids for fuel sources. Well, caffeine and creatine were going to somehow lead to changes in muscle performance without taking into account the effects that habituation of caffeine consumption has on caffeine's effect on muscle performance or on physiology, or the fact that most doses that are being recommended are not at a level that will provide benefit in terms of performance. Or how, even though there's no indication that creatine by itself is going to lead to increases in muscle performance, but that's what's being sold, particularly amongst the individuals who are selling creatine as a means for improvement in body composition. If we look at the evidence that's there as it relates to creatine, something we talked about when we talked about protein and protein within the diet, creatine is needed at about 6 grams per day in terms of our dietary intake, most of which we get if we are consuming animal products. A lot of the supplementation ideas as it relates to creatine is the indication that we get this increase in athletic performance, where we're going to somehow get increases of ATP, the energy molecule for the cell. The problem with that argument is that creatine is not the rate limiter in the creatine pathway, the phosphagen pathway for ATP regeneration. The rate limiter is an enzyme known as creatine kinase. And unless you are training at supraphysiological levels, 100% and above, You do not get the stimulant to cause changes in creatine utilization or improvement in the creatine phosphagen pathways. If we start to add muscle mass, we will automatically add additional creatine. The only time we actually see creatine in terms of indications for improvement is with people who have neurodegenerative diseases or people who are recovering from traumatic brain injury, where we actually see an improvement in repair, improvement in recovery from the addition of creatine to the diet. There is no rationale for why that's true. We know it happens, but we don't know why it happens. And that's kind of important here, is that a lot of people who will be selling on the creatine as it relates to improvements in cognitive function is selling off the fact that we know it works, but we don't know why it works. When people talk about in terms of improvement in muscle performance, a lot of that has to deal with Hawthorning or ignoring the training intensities that the individuals are using in order to cause changes in strength and changes in performance. We also see a lot of this idea in terms of the supplements as relates to some of the ions, some of the salts, some of the minerals that we add to our diet. One of the ones that gets a lot of press out there right now is magnesium. The problem with overuse of the salts, overuse of the minerals, is that if we are not deficient in those minerals, we will automatically just excrete those minerals. We do not hold on to minerals. We do not hold on to things that we do not need, particularly things that are not fat soluble. We will simply be excreting them when we have them in excess. And that is something we have to understand, is that if I'm getting benefit from these supplements, from these minerals, from these other things, I'm either deficient in those things already and I'm simply getting myself back up to my nutrient balance for those things, or I am having a Hawthorning effect that I think these things are working for me. And since I think these things are working for me, they will work for me. Within the claims that are being made about the mental acuity can lead to overuse of medications. It could also lead to use of students claiming that they get benefits from the stimulant medications, particularly during stressful times of the school year. Individuals that would take ADHD medications in an attempt to study all night, take stimulants in an attempt to study all night in order to get improved performance on their exams. We need to point out here that the supplements and a lot of the claims that are being made come without oversight, come without research to back them up, or research that indicates that they are effective in doing what they claim to do. Along with all these dietary supplements, along with all these nootropic, we get a lot of the dietary modifications. These include almost everything that we have talked about and written about in dogmatic diets. Most recommendations center on one or two of the specific dogmatic diets. What a lot of them will reference, when I mean them, what a lot of the experts, what a lot of the scientists on social media, put quotes around expert and quotes around science, scientists talk about on social media, they discuss time-restricted eating, or what they call intermittent fasting, or they're going to discuss mindfulness in our eating habits. Outside of these specific dogmatic diets, there is a little bit of reflection in terms of a concept known as metabologenomics, based off the impact that nutrition has and nutrient deficits have, or nutrient surplus has, on genetic expression. There are a variety of voices out there that speak about focusing on specific diets, particularly diets that are high in protein intake, most well in excess of the amount of protein necessary for normal metabolic functions or normal nutrient balance throughout the day. And as with many of the points that we talk about in terms of the biohacks, there is some credence to metabologenomics and the expression of metabologenomics as it relates to disease onset and relieving of diseases, particularly metabolic diseases. The way in which it's being presented within the biohacks is not scientifically valid. And the genetic regulations that we're going to see as relates to the changes in metabolic functions based off of changing of genetic expression due to the nutrient expressions or the nutrient deficits or the nutrient excess that we have within our diet is not going to necessarily cause a lot of the changes that are being expressed within the discussions as relates to the biohacks that nutrition and that dietary restrictions might have for the person. When we start looking at this idea about metabologenomic expressions and this idea about the dogmatic diets being expressed, one of the things we have to remember when we start looking at this idea is that if I am changing my nutrient balance, my body has to somehow get those nutrients that is now deficit in from somewhere. And it's going to do that by breaking down tissues of the body in order to meet those nutrient demands, which is why we will go about having changes within the body and within body composition by following distinct types of dietary restrictions. It's not that we're somehow getting some magic cure from this diet that's going to lead to body compositional changes. It's because the body is now in deficit, and because the body is now in deficit, we have to somehow make up for those deficits. we start looking at all these biohacks and all these biohack pitches. Even though there are these specific pitches, doing these specific activities, taking these specific supplements, wearing these specific things, or doing this specific environmental change, every pitch comes with a key caveat. And that key caveat is that responses are personal and that we have to go about doing a trial and error. We have to go about doing experimentation. But the problem is that the experimentation, the trial and error, is not usually objectively measured. It is subjectively measured, is measured off of the antidotes. We cannot generally do a self-imposed experimentation. We cannot do this DIY scientific experimentations. We cannot hack our body through DIY experimentations on ourselves without being objective in our analysis. We have to set up specific interventions and specific investigations to test a specific hypothesis through objective analysis of the changes that are occurring and the changes that are being tracked and measured. We cannot, as recommended by most of the quote-unquote experts and most of the quote-unquote scientists on social media, rely on the antidotes that they want us to rely upon based off of what we see and how we feel. When we start looking at the biohacking is really just a catchphrase. It's meant to make the person on social media sound more legitimate and the recommendations sound more valid. The recommendations that are offered may have sound validity in certain areas of health and certain areas of wellness, but generally not as being packaged. When we see or hear about biohacking in our social media feeds, we need to understand that what is being referred to as biohacking is a wide range of devices and a wide range of recommendations that may allow for incremental changes in lifestyle. The incremental changes can include everything from taking supplements and using wearable devices that allow us to monitor our health or somehow lead to a nutrient balance if we happen to be in deficit. It may involve using implanted devices or use medical treatments that are meant to alleviate an ailment that we do not have. Most of the recommendations are backed either by poor logical reasoning or logical fallacies, such as hasty generalization or the reliance on the antidote, that always come with the caveat that everyone needs to do their own testing to see what works for them. Whereas if we look at the science and we look at what is there in terms of the scientific validity of treatments and treatment options that will lead to an alleviation of issues that we're trying to alleviate through this quote-unquote biohacking or cause some sort of improvement in performance or allow for increased longevity or changes in our biological age, our physiological age of our body, we do have to understand that everybody's going to respond somewhere on the normal curve, where the normal population is going to be within the 95% confidence interval of that normal curve. But we're going to reply somewhere on that normal curve. Yes, we may be responders. Yes, we may be non-responders based off of the treatments. But just because we're a responder doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. Just because we're a non-responder doesn't mean it's not working for somebody else. If we think about it, almost everything we do is going to be a modification to our lifestyle. And if we are modifying towards being pro-health based off of what is being classified as a biohack, it's going to lead to improvements in health. There are no quick fixes. There are no things that are going to be somehow a secret invention or a secret finding that's going to lead to our overall change in health. We have to find things that we enjoy doing and diets that we're willing to follow if we hope to have long-term benefits in our health, in our wellness, or in our performance. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully get a little bit out of the conversation here as we talked about what biohacking is and what biohacking is not. If you're enjoying what we're putting out there, please make sure you give us that big thumbs up, that big five-star rating, and let us know that we're doing a good job. Please make sure you're sharing out with all of your friends and family. Please make sure you're following us here on the podcast as well as on the YouTube channel, the written stuff in Substack, as well as quick takes on Instagram and on Threads. If you have topics that you'd like us to cover, please make sure you leave it to us in the comments. We're more than happy to cover those in future discussions. Stay tuned for more discussions as it relates to the myths and misconceptions we have about how the human body works and how we go about living a healthy lifestyle.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.